Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn.
Welcome to Howe's New York. We're Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight we're going to be tackling a legal topics episode. And here, as always, is our host, Robert Howe.
To Howe's New York, I'm your host again, Robert Howe. And as always, we're talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community politics, and any hot topics of the day. We're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway to Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. And as Jason mentioned, my executive producer from Rising Tide Marketing, tonight is a legal topics talk. And Jason, what are we going to talk about? Why don't we tell our audience?
Well, we got a couple of topics that are kind of linked in the news recently. First story was all over the place. It was in USA Today. It was a piece from that stemmed from a report put out by Zillow that said that the United States is about to hit a record high for medium homes that are valued at $1 million. It's a pretty interesting story, considering the second part of that story is tied directly into the fact that the Fed just increased the interest rates again and said that they will be doing so again in December. So it's pretty interesting that the two of those would kind of go together hand in hand.
Well, the wealthy remain wealthy, and the rest of us just muddle along. But we'll hold a thought on the interest rates. Maybe we'll talk about that a little later. But what I'm seeing, this interesting article from Zillow Research, all these million-dollar communities, where the median price is $1 million, a couple of things jumped out at me. They did talk about the suburbs becoming, very wealthy. But, I didn't see any mention of right here in Brooklyn. You don't have to, this is not a suburb by any stretch of the imagination, but I would say median prices for the new condos that are going up are well into the millions of dollars. I wonder why, Jason, you know, these type of properties didn't make that list.
That's yeah, it's very interesting. I noticed that as well. I thought to myself initially, like, well, maybe they just figure that people know that about Brooklyn already, and it's not news. And I don't know what their criteria was for reaching this. If it's, but yeah, I would think that a fair number of those million-dollar homes are could be right along Shore Road. Could make up a huge percentage of the homes that are on this list. And according to this, it's 23 new cities are being added to the to this list that they call the Millionaires Club. And it is it would be interesting to see an entire list of where all these places reside.
Yes, you know that's the $64 million question, or $1 billion, or Bitcoin question. Why don't they give us just the whole darn list? Why are we talking about who's on, who's not, where are they, how come I didn't see this? So that's one thought that I had. I did see the Kardashians had a house listed in. And boo-hoo, it was only $3.2 million. What's going on there? I thought they would have been way up there in terms of, you know, their house. But 3.2 is sort of a paltry. I mean, we have people living in downtown Brooklyn and, you know, along Long Island City and Williamsburg in spectacular condos that are at least that much money. Poor Kardashians living in a... That's probably the servants' quarters at $3.2 million property.
Yeah, maybe they're getting tame. They haven't done anything shocking in a while. The ratings are maybe down.
Yeah, it could be. Yes, you know, certainly shock is you know, their stock in trade. And then there were a lot of places that I had never heard of. One sadly, probably this place Sullivan's Island in South Carolina, which is probably no longer there. Sadly. You know, after the storm, you know, such an incredible storm, such an incredible flooding situation, and you know, a lot of waterfront properties, which I'm sure have are very challenged, you know, with these coastal storms, but New Shoreham, Rhode Island, don't know where that is, and. Paradise Valley out in Phoenix. Zillow had to search far and wide for some of these properties.
It makes you wonder, given that list, they rattle off a few places, like you mentioned, Biltmore Forest, Anna Maria, Florida. These places already sounded like they were on $1 million neighborhood list prior to this, but it also makes me wonder if are they promoting these for selfish reasons? Is there some forces that are trying to steer people to say, "Oh, I've never heard of Sullivan's Island. Let me go, you know, contact my realtor." You know, is this something to get people hooked on the next hot area? And why Brooklyn may be out of. So many people's price range already that you know they're having to widen their field. And well, if you can't be in Brooklyn, maybe you could be, you know, close to New York in say Rhode Island.
Well, yes, that's circling the wagon of millionaires. But this article also came in conjunction with another article, right, Jason, talking about, you know, how for a lot of mere mortals, this $1 million house is really just priced them out of the market, way beyond, you know, their ability to jump in. What is your thought on that?
Well, it does touch on a lot of different things, and like we've spoken about countless times in our updates and with our guests about just the new records that we hit just in our own borough. But it also then addresses, it's not just an article that talks about the median home values, then it goes into, you know, higher home values mean larger loans, and why don't you consider rent? It's almost like it's the whole first half of it is, wow, this is unbelievable, and then it says, you know what, maybe you should consider renting, and oh, your credit score is probably lousy, you should probably fix that first. It really drags you, by the time you get to the end, it really hits you in the gut, and says, boy, I'm never going to be able to find one of these places.
Yeah. But, you know, you're right. There is that whole index of when it becomes better to rent versus to buy. And certainly when you get up that high in those figures, you just can't amass, you know, the deposit for it, first of all. And then the monthly payments are just beyond... beyond what anybody could, afford a $900,000, you know, mortgage, a million something dollar mortgage. You know, it just is, prohibitive. So there is something to be said for renting. I don't know if while you're renting, you could save up a deposit. You're probably paying a pretty good penny for rent, but. It is an alternative if you want to be in a certain community. You can't buy. Next best thing is to if you need to be in that community is to rent. And then you hit on the whole topic of the Feds are increasing the interest rates. Of course, our president says this is the best economy ever. And certainly when you get great economies, you get the Fed wanting to slow it down a little so that things don't get overheated and out of hand. So they're raising the interest rates. That, of course, adds a few dollars onto what a person could afford. You know, it's knocking, some people down a level or two in what they can afford. So it's certainly shrinking the market a little, and people who are owning these properties, the higher priced properties, the pool of their buyers is shrinking as the interest rate goes up. Do you sense that interest rates have had a slowing effect so far on the real estate market?
I guess that's a question of it depends on who you talk to. We've had guests come on and say, well, the inventory is non-existent. We can't, and we don't have enough inventory for all the buyers. And then you hear, well, some stores will say, well, it's gotten a little, it's kind of plateaued. But I haven't seen any story or any indication that says that any uptick in the interest rate, the one we spoke about, a couple of episodes ago was an uptick of 0.25%, and this time I think it was another 0.25%. So we've addressed it before where it has gone up. It's starting to go up a little bit after years and years of stagnation where it was, the 08, 09, 2010 era where it was just everything bottomed out. We're coming back up a little bit, but as you've mentioned numerous times before, it's still never been cheaper to borrow money, and so I have yet to see anything saying that the interest rates are so high right now I'm just going to rent. So I still think that while they're going up, it really it may make you have to pick between house B over house A, but it still seems like it's a smart time to be taking advantage of still historically low interest rates.
Right, and that's the point to remember, that we are still in historical low, range, not like the 6s, 7s, and 8s, you know, we're in the mid fours now. Not like my first mortgage, I think, was 14%, and I thought I got a bargain. Of course, back then I was also in a money market getting 20%. So, you know, it's kind of relative. But I don't know if interest rates really, I think it's put a little, turned the heat down a little bit. But, you know, I think the market is still pretty much boiling. We're also getting out of the summer doldrums. People are getting back to, you know, paying attention to what's going on, out of the vacation mode, and looking around and, you know, seeing what the market is to either buy or sell or upgrade. I think refinancing has stopped, but I still think people are thinking about, you know, downsizing, upsizing, doing something with their property, different location. So, you know, that could be, you know, a pretty interesting thought.
Well, if you look back to just the news stories on real estate from 2008 to maybe, you know, 2011 or 12, you would hear stories of just tragic stories about other parts of the country where people's homes were underwater and they were abandoning their homes because the value of the home was so much less than what they owed on their mortgage. And we're talking about a story of, you know, a record number of cities that have 197 cities, I think the article said, of the median prices at over $1 million. And that's where we're at when we're hearing real estate news. And just to even further validate it, the story has reached, the first I heard about the story was over the radio on one of the news briefs in between a show with top stories, and that this story, real estate, the homes have reached a record high. So once it gets to that point where they're now talking about it, it's like, hey, this is part of the, you know, the daily bulletins that you get. Here's what's going on internationally, and here's what's going on in politics, and, you know, the what's going on in Congress. Oh, and then another top story is the real estate home, median home prices has hit a record high. So that's where we're at. So I would think that's a good indicator, too, as to the health of the market, and not just here. Now, things historically have in New York have always been better than the rest of the country. So now we've seen the rest of the country start to come out of it a little bit. You know, the notion of, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats. New York is going to be, I think, even better still for it, because, you know, when the rest of the country is, you know, the real estate's going down, it's never as bad in New York, and it seems like it hasn't been for quite a while.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Yes, they're still talking about, you know, just talking about it means that the market is still strong and may not be going up like a rocket ship, but it is still going up. You know, one thing I didn't see a topic mentioned in the Zillow research was, you know, the effect of these tech companies on the surrounding areas. And we all know that Seattle and San Francisco have just experienced unbelievable appreciation because of the tech industry and those people making gobs of money, allowing them to buy houses with those gobs of money. Much of the chagrin of people who are still working at, like, you know, middle class or blue collar jobs that have been living there all their life, now they're getting priced out of their own community. So there is a talk, of course, of Amazon coming somewhere around the Newark, New York metropolitan area, and I'm sure that'll have some ripple effect. Hopefully, if it comes, you know, in the metro area, they're talking about, you know, 50,000 jobs, which is incredible, and those are 50,000 people who will need, you know, apartments, condos, co-ops, houses, you know, for their jobs. That of course is so long as they're paying them a living wage, which now people are complaining about those big, you know, the Walmarts and the Amazons not paying people, you know, a wage high enough to survive on and causing them to go on to, you know, Social Security or, you know, other benefits. That's a topic for a different day. But whatever it is, those big, you know, tech companies coming in really, you know, have an impact on the community in terms of, you know, at least the executives who are making, you know, like figures with a lot of zeros after them are, you know, are going to start, you know, building up the, you know, the community and raising the prices. So that is an interesting idea. And other than that, I think, I think we've touched on most of the important. Unless you have other thoughts.
Well, just regarding the tech neighborhoods, I think it does seem like maybe the million-dollar homes wouldn't be the tech execs would probably consider that slumming it. They might say, well, that might be good for the guys who work in our mailroom.
Yeah.
But we're off in the hills, the mountains, and of those different neighborhood. But putting in those stores, all these new stores you hear of, Amazon's going to be going in here, going in there. They got this type of store. I think they just opened one in the city, an Amazon store that only sells 4-star rated Amazon, like anything that gets a 4-star review on Amazon. Now you can get in this specific store and
uh-huh.
only carry 4-star rated product. You might, I think, you're going to see a lot more of that. And the Amazon store of the future, where you're supposed to just be able to walk into it, pick up whatever you want, and walk out, and you're somehow synced up or linked up to their system that'll basically, like if you're going through an Easy Pass, it'll just read your device or your car, or tie it to your phone or whatever it is that's linked up to it, and it'll come out of your account that way. So if the people were worried about getting a minimum wage increase before, having a store where you don't have to interact with any human being might really put the kibosh on that, because that might be where we're headed. And I could see those stores popping up in all kinds of different neighborhoods and areas where it could make them pretty self-sufficient, where they don't have to go so far. Used to be like, well, if I lived in New York, I could walk up the block anywhere and get whatever I needed at any moment's notice, any hour of the day. It seems like that concept is spreading further and further out to where you don't have to worry about, well, if I live in this area, I'm going to have to drive down from the mountains once every season to get my supplies. That's not the case anymore, because these types of stores are becoming the less the exception. I think it'll do wonders for neighborhoods. You'll start seeing this list, I think, increase even more.
Yes, so long as you have like a drone landing area where they can drop your. But how crazy is that going to be when the skies are filled with drones and these Amazon Smile boxes with all sorts of stuff in them? And they're going to need, like an air traffic control person.
Drone air traffic controller might be the new job of the next century.
Yes. Funny.
And
so
that,
I think
that's about it. Yeah,
I think it was a good story. Once again, supporting the theory that, real estate's a good investment and it's still on the upswing. No dark clouds on the horizon. No bubbles. Things are inching up, and as they inch up, it's good for people who are on the ins, and people who didn't get in may want to try to jump in, chase the market, as they say. And if you're on the outside, as one of the articles pointed out, save, rent, improve your credit, and or maybe find a community that is on the upswing that will one day be a million-dollar community, but right now may be a $600,000 or $700,000 community and ultimately turn into one of those, $1 million. But, of course, when they get the $1 million, the question is that even a status achievement? Are we going to visit this article in 5 years from now, where it'll be joins the list of the $5 million home value cities in New York? You know, we just keep on chasing.
We'll look back and laugh when we were impressed by the $1 million neighborhoods.
Yes, absolutely.
And with that, we're at the end of our legal recap, our legal topics episode on the recent story about the record number of homes in the U.S. that have hit that $1 million mark. And Bob, why don't you take us out?
Yes, and once again, showing that real estate is a good, relatively stable investment, unless you get a little over-speculative in overheated markets with 106% financing. But that's, once again, a topic for another show. But this concludes tonight's radio program, and thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show, and good job, Jason, with finding this $1 million story so we could share our insights with our listeners. This is How's New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people, wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown.